Lord, by the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite from every land and every tongue. This to your praise, our Lord, our God, be sung. Alleluia, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the scripture lesson read a few moments ago from the Acts of the Apostles. Today is Pentecost Monday, and appointed in that way, this lesson is a Pentecost lesson. Of course, it doesn't have to be read exactly in that way. It could be read in the context, for instance, of Peter saying, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Or it could be understood in the context of actually what Peter said about Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went around doing good, how he healed those who were oppressed by the devil, how he was crucified, how God raised them from the dead, how Jesus had sent them out to testify that he had been appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, how he promised forgiveness of sin to all who would believe on his name. That would make for Christ, his person, his work. That would make for Easter. But we'll take it as a Pentecost lesson, because the people in Cornelius' house, the house of a Gentile, a God-fearer, but a Gentile, how they heard, believed, and the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon them as well. Now, to explain it as a Pentecost lesson, one might think it's pretty simple. When Peter preached on Pentecost, he cited the prophet Joel about how the Spirit we poured out on all flesh. Peter had cited that, and this was what was happening. That's a simple explanation, but it's too simple. If that were the explanation, then why did Peter require a special vision from God, the one about the sheet coming down out of the heavens, covered with animals, with reptiles, Peter being told to kill and eat, and being shown that what God had made clean is indeed clean? No, without that vision, Peter would not have gone along with the men sent from Cornelius and then enter Cornelius' house. It was against the law. And if that explanation can't be that simple, because once Peter actually did share the good news about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his family and his friends, and Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians were astonished. Now, the all flesh that Joel was talking about was all Israel. In the Old Testament, in Israel, the Spirit of God was with the people, but rested upon very few. When David, for instance, prays in Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me, he was special. He actually had the Holy Spirit. Most Israelites did not. Well, that was a promise for the new age. That was a promise for the age to come. That was a promise of God. And indeed, when Peter preached on Pentecost, he preached because the Spirit had been poured out on him and the other apostles. And he promised the Holy Spirit to all who would repent and be baptized. And so they were. But the idea that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people, well, that yet was not apparent. No, what was still being made known, and was being made known here in the house of Cornelius, is the mystery of Christ, what Paul spoke about in his letter to the Ephesians, where once it had been Jew and Gentile, once it had been Israel and the nations, once it had been clean and unclean, once it had been spiritual and unspiritual, But now something new was happening. The dividing wall of hostility, the Mosaic law, no longer applied. The dividing wall of hostility, which separated the world into Jews and Gentiles, into Israel and the nation, into clean and unclean, that was being done away with. And now something new was happening. Jews and Gentiles together would be heirs. Jews and Gentiles would be members of one body. Jews and Gentiles would be partakers in one promise. And that was being made known in the house of Cornelius. In Pentecost, we remember and rejoice that God had raised Jesus from the dead and now was pouring out his Holy Spirit to make holy what had been unholy, to clean what had been unclean, to forgive what had been sinful, to bring to life what had been dead. It would not only be for Israel. Who was looking for Emmanuel? Who was dwelling in darkness? But it would be for all people. And it was, and it is, and it will be for you. For everyone, no matter where you come from, no matter what you have done, everyone, all of you who call on the name of the Lord will indeed be saved. On all of you, God has given his Spirit. So let us remember and rejoice on this Pentecost Monday the love of God in sending his Son and his Spirit. The grace God shows through his Son, who gave baptism to make every one of you one of God's children, Christ gives his own body and blood as a sign of grace, of love, of mercy, who forgives all your sins. And let's remember and rejoice in the Holy Spirit, who was poured out to the astonishment of the Apostle Peter on Cornelius and his family and friends, who has been poured out on you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We rise to pray.